right. Black opinions matter, motherfucker. I'm your host today, Black Trey, joined always by Big Jerv. What's going on, Jerv?
Not a thing, brother. How's everything?
Blessed, man. Blessed, grateful, all that other stuff. Man, we got some DMPs this week. We got Amin. We got Waz. This is Waz off week, so he definitely didn't get a DMP. He just got a special Kawhi contract going.
But this Waz weekly, he got a weekly hang now.
Man, something like it, man. Well, man, first of all, I want to start off with Doggy Style turning 27. I know that's an odd number, but I wanted to pay homage because I'm a West Coast guy, you know, and I know you liked that album too, Jerv. So shout outs to Snoop Dogg and Death Row Records in 93.
Bro, that we can big up that album every single year, because to this day, every single album that comes out with hype is the most anticipated album since Doggy Style. It's crazy.
Yeah, for sure, man. Absolutely. So this past week, we got a chance to see history be made. Like history. And when I say history, y'all understand. We talking about Gucci Mane. We talking about Young Jeezy on a 15-year beef. Not 5 years. Not 10 years, 15 years beefing over a situation that happened in the streets. Jerv, before we even get started, have you ever had beef with somebody longer than 2 years?
I'm not really a beef bull, but I'll say that. I mean, like, you know, I never had beef with someone over 2 years. I've not fooled with somebody, but I wouldn't necessarily call it like beef. Like, you know, I have like exes
and I think and shit beef, that I wouldn't I think, fool with. Can you clear that up for people? Because people say, yeah, oh, no, you got like, beef.
Nah, beef is different, dude. Like Jeezy and Gucci had beef. Like beef is like, you know, like Big gave us a song, right? Beef is everything Big said in the song, but on a normal human being level, right? A normal 9-to-5er, you know what I'm saying? Beef for me is like, if you and I have beef, bruh, the second you walk in the room is tension. We may not say nothing to each other. We might not even do nothing, but I'm going to tell you this, you're not going to be comfortable in that room and I'm not going to be comfortable in that room. And we're going to have our eyes on each other the entire time. That's beef.
I'm going to tell you right now, my version of beef is Peter and the Chicken from Family Guy. Every time I see you, I'm swinging on you. I'm taking your head off.
It's on sight.
So if it's really, if I really have that type of problem with somebody, then it's on. Every time I see you, we're going to fight. It ain't no passes. Ain't none of that. I don't care if you're holding your kid. I'm going to take your head off. So thankfully, I don't have any real quote unquote beefs with anybody. But as far as falling out, have you ever fell out with somebody and then rekindled?
Nah, bro, I'm petty. I'm petty as shit. Like, once I get to the point where I don't fool with you, like, I'm the type of individual, it doesn't take a lot for me not to fool with you, but it takes a lot for me to get to the point where, like, yo, I don't even want to be around you. You know what I mean? Like, there's individuals that, like, I may be like, oh, you know, that's my man or that was my man or something like that, but then, like, they'll do something. And then, you walk it back a little bit, like, eh. Boy just cool or she just cool or whatever the case may be. But once you get to, there's really no turning back for me once we get to that point, because you've just, you've shown me so much that I'm just like, yo, you just a nut. Like I can't fool with you, right? Like I don't want to fool with anybody who I just think is corny in a way where it's like, you're not just born corny, like you just move corny.
So you mentioned walking back, right? With the walking back term, how do they handle that? Do they know that you walk back on that situation where you like, I'm cool on them, but I ain't strictly done with them, but I just ain't messing with nothing that they associated with? How do they even, are they aware of that? Do they come up to you on some situation, or is it just like a mutual understanding?
Now, it's obvious when I don't fool with you, because like I'm the boy that'll walk in the room. First of all, I don't like, not shout out to COVID, but like COVID is a blessing to a degree with me, as far as like, I don't gotta shake nobody's hand ever again. I hate shaking hands. I hate coming into the room and it being 20 people. And then, like, I'm the dude that tries to figure out a way not to shake anybody's hand or whatever the case may be, because I'd rather just do that. But once I get to a point, like, if you my man and there's not that many people in the room, I'll dap you up real quick. But I don't dap you up if I don't fool with you. I damn near don't make eye contact with you. You know what I'm saying? And for me, when you get to that point where I don't even acknowledge your presence in a room, like, that's how you got to be blind not to peep that I don't fool with you, right? Like, if I used to chop it up, kiki or whatever the case may be, and joke with you and all this, that, and the third, and then all of a sudden I don't even acknowledge your presence. Like, and when I say don't acknowledge your presence, bro, I'm talking about we could go to a fight party. Everybody in that joint could be having a super time, and you could be talking to my man. Somebody that, you know, not my man, but somebody that I associate with. And, yo, dude, like, I won't even go on that side of the room that you want. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you'll be like, damn, this nigga egging the hell out of me. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and to me, it's just like, yo, bro, or sis, this is how you made it, right? Like, I'm not going to go out of my way. I'm not going to fake smile or anything like that. I feel like I owe it to you to give you that much to be like, he don't fool with me, right? Like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to laugh it up with you and be like, oh, damn, you're fooling me again. Then you shoot me a text and I just got ghost you on the text or something, right? I'm going to just let you know when I see you, I'm not even really even talking to you.
Yeah, so in my case, man, I have a backstory on my situation. I was really cool with this one cat and it got to a point where it was like, you dead to me. And we had to cross paths every week because we played in this league together. And it was so awkward because we would just walk past and don't say anything, like we didn't acknowledge. And the people that knew us knew that we were actually cool at one point in time, to a point where it was like, dang, like, they really don't speak. You know what I mean? So then it got to the point where some further on down the line, like a couple years later, something happened. And I bumped into this person, like, parent. And when I bumped into the parent was like, oh, you didn't hear such and such. Something happened to the person. And I felt something a little bit. So I'm like, dang, like, should I say something? But then I also know this person's character is just as petty as mine. So I actually reached out on some Life is Short shit, right? And when I did it, we put everything behind. But we have not been cool for so long that we basically, when we started kicking it again, we outgrew each other. And it was just awkward. So I don't know if I could ever do that again. To that point of like trying to rekindle a fallout, because during that space of time, you become a whole different person. You meet other people, your interests change, or the stuff that you was doing with that person possibly rubs you wrong now. So, now that was definitely a learning experience for me. But enough on that situation, Jerv, obviously us blocking people in real life. Let's get to the topic at hand. So we got Gucci and Jeezy. Over 1.6 million people tuned into this. That means they was breaking records on here. First of all, shouts to Swiss Beats, Apple Music, Timbaland, and all parties involved who was able to get this to go. You know what I mean? Because we definitely didn't think it was happening. I know you were saying what happened with T.I. What was your thoughts on that when T.I. got subbed out?
So when I first saw someone repost Gucci's post, my first thought was, oh, all right, you know what I mean? Niggas just being niggas. You know what I mean? They gave us the internet. This is what we do, right? And then I saw that he had commented and he called my man Snow Cone. So then that made me think, hold on, there's something to this. So then I instantly went, I think I even hit the chat and I'm like, yo, like, what the hell happened? And it just made me realize, and first of all, let me be clear. T.I. is one of my favorite artists to ever do it, right? Like, I fool with Ball, what was it? King, what was it?
Trap Music.
Paper Trail,
Urban
trap
Legend.
Urban Legend, Trap Music. That's what I was thinking of, right? I love them albums. Dome On, I'm rocking out. But it also made me realize, before seeing, I got actually another thought afterwards, but before seeing this, it made me realize how much of a second thought T.I. really is when it comes to right or wrong, when it comes to not just Atlanta music, but just music in general. Like T.I.'s in that weird space where he uses
he's Kevin Hart, bro. Think about this in the comedy world, right? You love him, while he got his start, you were a big fan of it, but then his popularity outgrew Atlanta. You know what I mean? When you associate T.I.'s music, you're not like, oh, he's an Atlanta artist. It's like, oh, he makes more music for everybody to adapt to versus these two artists. Jeezy's early stuff was Atlanta heavy. Like, his style was all that. And then now he's almost at T.I.'s level, where Gucci is like not really too caring about the music, but the culture he's uprooted. He's passed the plug to so many artists that he's trap God. He's the trap A&R out of that situation. So obviously these two are well respected. So you found out, it's official, and we all hyped about it. We've been talking about it all week. Who's going to get who? Last week we talked about, you know, you said Jeezy was going to win. And most of the chat said Jeezy's going to win. I was being the devil's advocate. I picked Gucci Mane just because, you know, shout out to 1017 Brick Squad. But let's get to the start of the stream, where we had to wait 45 minutes and stare at these baby shower chairs. Like, we were at a point where they were late to their own event, like it was a real concert. How'd you feel about that?
So, full honesty, that was what, Thursday night? So it was 6:30 Eastern time, and I told myself, bet, let me just take a quick little nap real quick, because I know what tonight is about to be. Like, I need all my energy. So I did not wake up. My nap turned into like, I didn't wake up to like 8:30. So I turned it on literally at the first or second song. So technically, I didn't see that part. So for me, it was perfect. Like, I woke up thinking, oh, shit, I just missed half of the battle. Like, this ain't the one, dog. Like, I can't miss this one. But the only thing I missed was, which I wish I didn't miss, was when Gucci came on and he started off with round one.
Hey, and he bombed first. That's the thing I liked about it. And it was pure entertainment. Shouts to Gucci and his team for picking those songs, because you had Holiday.
When you say entertainment, you mean his actions were entertainment? Or like,
yeah, I mean, because we're going to get to that part. We're going to talk about it.
Because I don't think that shit was entertainment.
So, because when we got to that, right, he starts off, and it was so awkward. Even in comments, we weren't even physically around each other, and everybody was anxious. Like, will he react? Will he react? What about the niggas in the back? Like, we're looking at everything.
I definitely thought the DJs was about to end that shit at some point.
So when it got to a point, you got Holiday, you got the, what's my man, what's the Jeezy's DJ name?
Oh my God. Why is it escaping me right now?
Him,
he said it a million times.
Shouts to him, you know what I mean? But he was hyping it up, and he was instigating. The DJs were instigating the entire thing, so it made it even like 10 times worse. And they upsold it really, really good, right? So we get into the battle, and all of a sudden, Gucci drops Truth, finally. And when he dropped Truth, and he said he was smoking on Pookie Loke, how did you feel about that?
So I got extremely nervous, because I did not think any of that was entertainment, right? And I saw everyone bigging up Jeezy afterwards, saying, oh, that was growth, and Gucci. I don't care what anyone says. Allegedly, 15 years ago, Mans did what he did, and the outcome was what it was. I'm not knocking any human being, man, woman, black, white, whatever the case may be, if they are still holding a grudge for an alleged case that happened. Like, so when it went to that route, I was like, I understood everything. I understood why Gucci was doing it. I just was like, damn, like, not right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, damn, y'all, like, y'all realize this is live streaming, right? Like, so anything that happens, they're going to pin it back to this right here. It was comical.
So that's why I said it was great entertainment, Jerv. Because it got to that point. Like, it made you feel. It's like if you were watching a movie and something happens and your palms get sweaty as if you're in the scene with it. And they sold it so well, right? Because after he performs that, Jeezy says, "You're not going to disrespect me like that." And he turns into Martin Luther Jeezy. And he gives this great speech. Now, again, that's me clapping for Jeezy having growth and being able to move on, even though he tried to kill Gucci. But that's a whole nother story, right?
Allegedly.
And he drops Get Your Mind Right. Now, I'm not going to lie. I was rooting for Gucci the whole time. But when I heard the DJ drop, dun, dun, I'm the realest nigga in it. You already know, God Trapper of the Year, Ben Rose, what you give it? When that shit dropped.
Lifetime supply, bacon soda, clientele.
Listen, that shit dropped, I ran out of the room. I literally was like, oh my God, this shit's fucking over. And to be fair, I love the songs that WAP was choosing. And obviously, he had more of a funny approach because he was joking around the whole time. He was throwing his ad-libs in, calling Jeezy pussy, saying, let's have a versus battle with Chains. And then I liked the slick. Jeezy hit him with the grown man shit like, I own half of Atlanta. You talking about 5 million to Chains, I own half of Atlanta. That kind of shut it down. It shut it down to a point where Gucci lost all momentum, right? And it got to the point where you realize how crazy TM-101 is. Because he could have smoked him off TM-101 by itself.
Alone,
right? So my results on this, and tell me if you agree on this, right? First of all, never in my life would I think I would live to see all of these diss records be performed live in front of each other, for one. So shout out to 2020 on that. And then Jeezy won, but Atlanta and the culture picked Gucci overall. Also, funny parts. Jeezy was saying, I tell you that, like Hank Hill.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though. He said that. If I was a drinking game, I would have probably died.
Oh, yeah. You'd have died.
Yeah. And then, also, Gucci fit. He was dressed like Shorty from Good Times.
Yeah, James. What's his name? The pop. What the hell is his name?
George Jefferson.
No, that's Jefferson.
Not come Jefferson. On,
come on, man. James.
Man.
Yeah, James. Yeah. Whatever. But hold up. I read something on that.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. This is one of them things. I don't know. But I would not put it past anything. So my man posted something saying, so Gucci said he got a $10,000 outfit on, right? And then apparently that was from what I read, it said that was the check. That was the amount that was on his head, right? And then he then goes and talks about his jewelry. And apparently that was the whole setup was the boy was trying to take his jewelry. So, like, at first glance, I was like, oh, shit, like, Jeezy just killed him. Like, he over here showing the one side that they want us. And I'm not trying to shit on Gucci because, you know, I respect dude or whatever. But the one side, how, like, Gucci's over there acting like, quote unquote, they want us to act, right? Like, he's putting on the show. This is what they want us to do, right? And then Jeezy counters it with, quote unquote, grown man talk. But then, like, if what I read was true, and I don't believe everything I read on the internet, but it sounded believable, right? Like, if Gucci had other meaning behind the numbers and the way he was saying it, like, I get that the grown man talk was, listen, for the people, for the youngins that would listen in, for the clips that are going to go viral, that is dope that they hear that. But for the people that live that era, they remember those times, the people that Fab's talking to when he said it was the 90s, you had to be there, like when he's talking about drug dealing and all that type of stuff. Like, yo, that is some crazy talk for him to, in my opinion, to like kind of like have inside talk with Ball, even though, you know, everybody, you know, you get what I'm trying to say. So like, I really thought that was dope. But to answer you, you think that Jeezy lost or won? In your opinion?
I mean, from my opinion, on outside of perspective, Jeezy won because he had the better records. But for Atlanta to choose, and when you look at it overall, when you look at a battle, that's what you're really going for. It's not about who sold the most records, because that's how America viewed it, the popular songs. Gucci don't make popular songs. You know what I'm saying? He don't make enough for that. Yeah. When you aim for it that way, I don't think Jeezy intended to make popular songs, but his album, just like T.I.'s Urban Legend, became a popular universal album. You know what I'm saying? I don't think the intention going into creating that masterpiece was like that. I think it was like, I'm telling my story, and the people that really do this is going to feel it. And the beats is going to be crazy. And that, 2005, everybody was outside.
Everybody was outside.
So it's a different type of feeling when you think about Gucci situation, mixtapes, features. You know what I mean? When you think about, he didn't perform Go Hard. I mean, Go Ahead. Shorty got her ass on hard.
Yeah.
He didn't perform Black Beatles.
Then he didn't do that.
You know what I'm saying? He didn't perform Swing My Door. Like, he had so many songs that if he had the right coaching, or if he was going on that, his main perspective was to keep the streets. Like, you know what? The streets want to hear the diss records. The street want the tension. I'm going to give it to them. Versus Jeezy was like, okay, I'm the bigger artist here. The streets want TM 101. The streets want some recession shit, some inspiration shit. Like, he has more albums than Gucci Mane. Gucci Mane has more mixtapes.
Yeah. And so I think both strategies were dope, right? Like, I think, and I think I said this last week too, like, if Jeezy was at advantage because this was a national thing, if this was strictly in Atlanta, I don't think Jeezy has a shot at all.
That's why I said last week,
right,
let Atlanta judge this, and then you'll see. But that wouldn't
have been fair. So there was no fairway for either.
If he owns half of Atlanta, and people love you how you post, you have to relax. And that's the thing. It's the difference between who really rock with you and who don't. You know what I'm saying? Because the hood is going to make that real call.
Well, but the disadvantage with the hood would be that you'll have, and I'm not even going to get into what side I would be on, because I think it's just ridiculous that the hood would even take this stance. But this is the hood. This is what we do. You got one side of the hood that's just going to fuck with Jeezy because of, you know, him being Jeezy and him doing this, that, and the third. And he has the grimy songs. Like you said, but his songs just came out in an era where grimy songs went big.
Look at it this way, too. Everybody that bumped TM 101 is working a 9-to-5.
Hell yeah.
Ain't got kids. Hell 15 years from now, we've all graduated to maturity. Now, not saying that we don't love Gucci Mane's stuff, and Gucci Mane's stuff is not recitable, or, you know, that you can't learn it. He's just put out so much music that he's just a volume shooter. So the point of you like, oh, this is my personal classic. Oh, this is my personal classic. When Make the Trap say, hey, fire. Like, he got shit, but it's just that it's not a complete album where TM 101, you could just hit play. You got a song with Hov. You got Go Crazy. You got Seen It All. Like, you can go down the line, and Gucci don't really care to that extremity. You know what I mean? To that point of, like, hitting commercial success. He's like a hood nigga that just want to make enough money and go on about that way. Jeezy is like, okay, I beat the game of life. I was a drug dealer. I did all this other shit. I got the blueprint from Hov. I got into real estate to be rich forever. And then now I'm a president of a music company. So he not thinking about, he thinking about all this other shit. This nigga running treadmills and talking about health as well. Gucci working out too, but he still cares about the bling. He still cares about the young. So, and that still attracts the young crowd. So he can play that still in that situation, you know? To wrap that part up, So Icy is their version of The Boy Is Mine. It is.
Yeah, I got you. I'll follow. That's just a wild comparison when you think of the two, but it makes sense, though.
It makes sense,
that was,
bro.
That was an amazing moment, dude.
Oh, no, it was great because we were like, huh? It went from tension to like, oh, we won. So hip hop won.
And that goes into your theory more that it was all entertainment. I'm just sorry. I just don't see how Gucci's could have been entertainment.
That's the thing, though. When you look at it, not only did it take courage for Jeezy to go up there and not be like pissed off about him rapping about his boy, his dead homie, but then there's also courage from Gucci to be vulnerable and say, all right, I'm going to squash this beef. I'm going to get up here and make this money. I'm going to throw a party with this person in Atlanta. Be cool because Trap God said so. Big Wop said so. And Atlanta was cool. They was able to throw a COVID party in Compound, which was...
I still don't think Jesus should have went to that party.
I seen an Instagram story that said, it's so much COVID in there. Luckily, I got the antibodies. That ain't funny, but that was the funniest shit I ever seen. That was the best thing I seen that week. Atlanta is doing something different right now.
I don't know how
they in business. But that ain't my business. Shout out to Atlanta doing what they gonna do.
Get that money.
Do what y'all gotta do. But that was entertainment. Potentially, Jerv. Game and 50 Cent. How do we feel about this?
So, I think that's another joint that would be okay. I wouldn't be as hyped for that. And not even hyped for the culture for that. But I would want to see I just want to see Fifth promoted. Like, Fifth going to be just... Like, that is Fifth in full form. He already started as saying that if they do it, he can't play nothing that he's featured on. They can't play anything that the other one's featured on, which, by the way, I think is super duper dope, and it sucks for Game because it'll be just like Gucci. Like, to me, Game is super duper nice.
I disagree, though. I think Game got some shit when you think about Jesus Peace, when you think about Doctor's Advocate. Documentary don't really overall shape his career, and I know people love, hate it, or love it. Because that would be their boy is mine, or how we do.
What I mean is more so, and from a bar standpoint, like I fool with Game. Like I listen to his albums, them joints roll, they're cool. But I feel like Game is more West. Like when he got done with Fifth, he is more of a West Coast artist. But he's not West Coast artist like Kendrick is a West Coast artist where he's to the world, right? So it would be a joint where if it was in Cali or something like that, and you had only Cali people vote, Game would win like easily. But if you make it a net, 50 has. I mean, 50 can go any angle, right? Like he can go all top 100 type songs. He can give you all that G-Unit mixtape crap that he was putting out before in the club and all them joints came out. I don't think Game stands a chance unless they make it, and I'm not disrespecting him, but unless they make it a local thing. Like, Game doesn't have a shot. Like, not whatsoever.
I disagree.
Like, he doesn't, bro.
I disagree. Bro. I disagree. I think that his mixtape is just
as
good.
You're speaking it from it from... And I get you. You said, like, you're one of the people I know samples all music. So, like, I know you listen to everything. But your West Coast ear is crazy. Like you just have a crazy
I'm not crazy about Game, though. I respect his body of work. I'm more 50 Cent than Game. But I don't...
But his body of work.
But I do think it's closer than what we really are saying. I don't think that it's just far off. Do you want 50 to play AO Technology? Like, this nigga had niggas sing at Candy Shop, family. Like,
but when he plays I Get Money,
great song.
And like, first of all, like Jeezy with 101, he could let that joint rock. So I'm not the biggest 50 so fan, but that first 50
you ain't
album,
loving none of those Game Lil Wayne collabs. You ain't loving none of those Game Kanye collabs. You ain't loving no Game. Like, because those Game McMill collabs.
I didn't think about all them collabs.
Because you got to think about all the songs, all Game's albums the past 8 years have been compilations where he has like 20 features on there and they're bangers.
Yeah.
So nah, you don't like, think.
I hear you. I just don't think he stands a chance against Fifth. Like, outside, he doesn't.
Okay, maybe he's in a Jeezy situation where Get Rich or Die Trying is his TM-101.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, Fifth can play damn near anything off Get Rich or Die Trying, and it's going to appeal to the audience more than whatever Game plays. Game's got a short clip of songs that's going to appeal to every single person, the 1.9, the 2.3, whatever it is that's going to tune in. He's got a short clip. Now, if you're making this for the hip-hop backpack dudes or whatever, Game's got a chance. You make it all on the West Coast, then it's like, it's ridiculous. But Fifth has shits that we're going to be 55, 60-year-olds at our whatever respective birthday parties, and these 50 Cent tracks are going to come on.
Hey, man, Running with Tony Yayo. I like Documentary, dog. He has a solid first album.
He does.
So moving on from there, because you're not – okay, so you picked 50 on that one, right?
Yep.
Okay, and then potential Tribe Called Quest first Outkast.
Damn.
I mean, it was rumored, so I'm just putting it out there in the air.
I put it out there. I love Tribe. Tribe is no disrespect to Tribe. You just can't fuck with that. Like, that's just not fair to them. And it wouldn't be fair because I don't feel like Tribe would get their flowers that they deserve to get. I don't really know who they could go up against.
Why wouldn't they get the flowers? If the right people are tuned in, which they will be, it ain't gonna be no young boys. If you're a young boy, a young boy in there, and you are trying to observe that, and you're not a student or a hip hop historian,
okay,
I think you're not going to pull up to that as much because that's not their palette of music. It's a rare company of backpack rappers now. Right, that you're gonna be like, okay, damn, I want to listen to some Tribe. You play Midnight Marauders. You play Stank on Ya. You know what I'm saying? You play Aquemini. You can go down the line with these guys. The right crowd is gonna be in there. Hip hop gonna be in there, and it's gonna be a fair judge. Now it's gonna be on what song they pick. That you're gonna be like, God damn. And I'm sure Q-Tip gonna have his own little shit where he can drop Vibrant Thing. He can drop a couple joints in there.
Yeah.
The same thing for Dre and Big Boy. Dropping their solo shits in there. Their Goody Mob hits in there. Their Dungeon Family shit.
I mean, I just think
it on the bar.
Look, Tribe is one of my favorite groups ever. They are. But Outkast is damn near the greatest group ever. Like, the greatest group ever. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think that Outkast has whatever angle they want. If you want to make it straight, if it's a backpack audience, they got plenty of tracks for that. If you want to play the hits, they have the hits. They can go to all that mixtape shit. Like, if they really, really wanted to, like, I would lose my mind if I what's the joint? Art of Storytelling? That joint or what's the joint that Dre
and Big Boy did? 1-4, by the way.
Like, yeah, bruh. Like, if they do any of those, like, again, it's like they can appeal to every single audience member that will be in there. So I would like to see that just because I would love to be able to to jam and damn, I sound super old. I would love to be able to just rock out, you know what I mean? Like I did for X and Snoop or whatever, Ross and Chainz, even though that really wasn't that fair. But it was more of a celebration. I feel like that joint would be more of a celebration. The Jeezy and what you call joint, it may have been a celebration, but my mind wasn't ready to allow that to be a celebration. So I would like to see Tribe and Outkast. I think that would be dope. I just think when it's all said and done, no disrespect to Tribe, that could be one of them joints. Like if you was doing a scoring card, it could be like 13-7.
Damn. So
damn. Not a joint where like
Tribe. My man said 13-7. It can't be closer than that.
I mean, what you want me to give you? What you want me to give you? 11-9?
Hey man, I really think Tribe could do something, man.
Nah. I mean, they can do something. They can do something. But I tell you this, if Tribe get that first 10, it's a wrap. Like if Tribe get that first 10, because you know Tribe gonna come out swinging with that first 10. And they're gonna be crazy, but Dre and Big Boi could literally counter with the same exact version of a song that to the audience that's listening to it probably is going to be a bigger song.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying.
13-7.
I'm just saying. 13-7. I like
fifth,
it.
Game and fifth would be like 15-5. Keep it a bean. But
you said gangly smoke like that? That's crazy. Yeah, Amin would probably agree with you because he just is anti-game. But it's all good, man. Well, hopefully those two happen, and then we can talk about those. But let's talk about, I mean, we're still stuck on Feud. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, reunion. What was your initial thoughts going into this? Now, this has been 30 years. First of all, we're old. This is 30 years of a reunion. What did you expect before you even, like, when you just watched it? What did you expect from it?
So I'm the person that thought that it was about to be on some Seinfeld with Curb type thing where they were about to give us like a low key, like couple episodes type thing. That's what I originally thought it was. But then when I found out what it was, how it was a celebration, this and the third, my mind instantly went to, damn, Uncle Phil's not going to be there. And
you look like James Avery, by the way.
I mean, I've heard that. Uncle Phil's not gonna be there, and damn, how they gonna do this but not show Aunt Viv no love? Like I just assume Aunt Viv would, and no disrespect to the second Aunt Viv, but to me Aunt Viv is Aunt Viv. It's, you know what I mean, it's the first Aunt Viv.
So I knew the other Aunt Viv was gonna be involved because pictures had surfaced.
Right.
Okay, so I knew that she was gonna be involved. But I didn't know the backstory. And when you hear about the backstory and you think about Will Smith being 21 years old, first of all, before we even get there, let's just start. They intro the cast. The cast is there. They're sitting around on the set, you know, and they're breaking it down of audition tapes and all this other stuff. And you think about, you know, from Jeffrey to Carlton to Hillary to Ashley Banks, you know what I mean? Not even factoring in light skin out Viv yet, right? And then you got Will Smith, right? And how they found out was on tour in Detroit. It was Jazzy Jeff and Will, and he got the call, and he says, I'm about to have a TV show. And he said, mentioning, you know, if you're in Philly, and maybe you can attest to backing up this claim, if you're in Philly and you say you're on TV, it's just somebody with a camera and not worldwide. On national TV. So when Jazz said that, how did you feel about that? Did you feel that?
Nah, I mean, I understood exactly what he meant because in Philly, I mean, it's probably like this everywhere, but I mean, I only know what I know, and I know Philly. During that time, everybody that could get themselves on the hands on the video camera was trying to do their own thing. Right. And it's dope. Want to shout out to Instagram for this, like, and all these like OGs that took footage back in the day that is now surface, that now allowing this footage to surface. So you're seeing, like, you know, different artists or different, you know, actors and actresses. Like, you're seeing stuff that they did back before putting everything you did out for the public to see was the thing to do. You're seeing these things surface. So I felt them, dude. Like, you know, Like, if somebody was to come to me right now and be like, oh, yo, and they're from Philly right now to this day, even though I know how things work, yo, I'm about to, you know, I got my own TV show. My initial thought would be, oh, all right, you probably just doing something out your crib. I wouldn't even think to be like, oh, damn, who picked you up? So I understood exactly what Jeff meant, dog. It was the times back then. Everybody was trying to hustle. Everybody was trying to do their thing.
So they get on. Shouts to Quincy Jones giving Will Smith an opportunity. And then shouts to Will Smith bringing Jazzy Jeff on. Because he could have just forgot about his mans and said, you know what? I ain't rapping no more. Got my Grammy. I'm about to do this big time, right? And he doing this at 21 years old, you know? And in that particular situation, I think they're in season 3. So it's almost like he just got drafted. He ended 3 years in the season. And he working and he creating this masterpiece. And, you know, he explains just, you know, they all talk about and share a moment about James Avery and how his presence was felt on, you know, set. You know, whether it was just him and his trailer listening to, like, jazz music, whether it was just, you know, him being a thespian, and just bringing out the performance and everybody wanting to impress him, you know what I mean? No matter who it was, and him being a father figure, not only casted, but like in real life. And also the infamous scene where, how come you don't love me no more? Will Smith actually messed up and couldn't get his lines out. And then James Avery grabbed him and said, you know, you can do this, you know, and he killed it. And obviously that's the scene that we see that's viral all the time now to this day and impactful. You just didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, for those 6 seasons that it ran, how much it was going to mean long term. Another thing that was very interesting was to see Will Smith learn everybody's lines.
Yeah, that was wild when they were playing all that stuff back, and you're like, and then they close up and you see him literally saying the people's lines. And to think that's what we saw on television, but we didn't think to see that at the time, which is another thing. Like, it's crazy how the mind works. Like, you know what I mean? It's literally right there in front of our eyes, but we don't notice it. But I mean, that's shout out to him, man. He came in, he was an underdog, this was before everybody rapping and everybody singing just got TV shows, you know what I mean? And it was just the thing, like, you know, I'm not saying people didn't get those, but back then it was kind of like, oh, he's just a rapper. Now, like, you know, a rapper or someone or comedian gets a TV show and it's like, oh, that's the thing that happens now. Rappers and comedians get TV shows. This is the next step, man. But, you know, shout out to Will, man. Like, you know, he explained that he was coming off of a dud album. He was, you know, I didn't realize at the time, you know, that he was broke, but it makes sense when you hear the stories and you know a little bit about things that he's been through, and it being that era when young black people with entertainers, not even black people, young entertainers would get a bag, and then before we were aware of not having to help everybody out or always trusting everybody, Will's over here trusting everybody. And, or I don't know if he's trusting, but, you know, I'm sure there was some of that involved, and it come to find out he's broke. And then for this man to, you know, take that jump and Philly doesn't really big up Will the way that we should big up Will. Probably because we're such a quote unquote grimy city. You know, we have that grimy vibe, you know, we love the griminess of the city. So we big up the Beanses and all those dudes because they're the streets, they're us, man. But man, if it wasn't for Will, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think a lot of people from Philly would be on because Will was inspiration. Will was, you know, you watch, I always had a special place for Will because Will was the dude that made it. And you know what I mean? If you can make it, Will can do it. You know what I mean? Anybody can do it. So, you know what I mean? It was just dope seeing him put all that work and all that effort into it. And I didn't realize how experienced a lot of the cast members were prior. I mean, I knew who Carlton was before from whatever that show was. But I didn't know James Avery or the second Aunt Viv. or I just assume Jeffrey was, you know, he just seems like he was a thespian and in mad shit, you know, whatever. So I'm assuming he was. But, like, I didn't realize how experienced that cast was until they did, like, I guess it would be, like, the breakdown. And the player profiles or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, that's dope, just watching Will be able to hold his own and then for him to shine, you know what I mean, amongst that crew was super-duper dope.
So one of the funny things was Jazz would wear a specific shirt whenever on those episodes. And now it's kind of, if you go back and look, you'll know now when he's going to get tossed out of the mansion. So he would just record, and it got to a point where they said, you know, we recorded this shot maybe 40 times of him getting tossed out, you know, where he would just do the, you know, so, that was an interesting part. And then you look at, they finally highlight, just different things too. You know, when you look at, Alfonso Ribeiro coming up with the Carlton dance, and he just read it in the script and said that, you know, Carlton dances the character. And he said, what actual dance would just be unique and stick out? And he came up with that dance, and Will was like, even I can't do it. And I'm a pretty good dancer, you know? And it was to the point where he owned it. And to this day, people are still doing the Carlton dance, you know? So, definitely, definitely legendary. Let's talk about the first Unviv. So Will and Unviv meet up, and you know, a couple days prior to of the recording, and they talk, and it was almost like we were flies on the wall of a therapy session. She got a chance to express her hurt, express, you know, how she felt, what was actually going on. And then also was able to forgive Will and the rest of the cast. Were you aware of any of that was going on in her life?
I had no idea that any of that was going on in her life. Not like 1 ounce of it. The only thing I remember from that time was what she had mentioned to Will, which was that the rumors came out that she was difficult. Like, that's all I remember, you know what I mean, from that era, was that she was, quote unquote, difficult.
And that was the worst thing that you possibly could call a black woman in Hollywood at that time.
I didn't realize until I actually put some thought. I've never seen her in anything. I'm not saying she hasn't been, but I haven't seen her in anything else than Fresh Prince.
She wasn't. And she did.
And that's crazy.
She did a Vlad interview, I want to say 4 years ago, explaining a little bit about it, but didn't go into detail as she did in this reunion. She said, you know, like, this is Will Smith's kind of, he was the one who didn't want me on the show and kept it at that. So when those viral clips went around and all this other stuff, and, you know, they were like, Janet, you know, she didn't da 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 da. And when he finally, you know, owned up to, like, yeah, I was 21. And you think about, that's a lot of responsibility for a 21-year-old to be mature. Not saying that it was okay, but also her being pregnant, her being, you know, having to shoot on being pregnant, and then also being abused at home, and then trying to body that all up and you know, also work out a situation where she's like, look, I know I'm being difficult. I know I'm not being funny. I'm uptight. Everything's going on at home, and she's not even sharing that. She's just trying to make it work. And instead of, you know, out of the respect of the show and also being loyal to, you know, thinking about it, she had a non-compete, which most contracts are like that, where you can't just go from, all right, your character being killed off on one show, and then now you're on the next show. It doesn't work like that. Maybe now in these times, but back then, they had the number one watched show outside of Monday Night Football. You watch Monday Night Football, and then you turn to Fresh Prince at prime time. So think about that. So then when you go into that situation of her character being, you know, killed off because she didn't accept the offer that they gave her, she ended up killing her career off of it. And everybody else continued to grow. I mean, Ashley Banks, Tatiana Ali, end up recording some music. Alfonso Ribeiro appeared on other things. James Avery appeared on other things. I don't know about Light Skin on Viv, but we got intro to the new album Viv, and it was business as usual. I think it was, you know, it's pre-internet, so it wasn't like a huge ordeal. It was just a common conversation in your house, like, dang, they switched up the character. All right,
but I think the show's still good. Jazz mentioned it the one time. It was like, this, you look different. And that was it. We laughed at it. And
we laughed. Like, yeah, it was written in as a joke. You know what I mean? And it went to that way. But she caught the back end of 30 years of blackball. Her family's, you know, said they ruined it. You know, yeah, she ruined her name.
That was wild.
And then also, you know, being difficult in Hollywood, she never found work off of that. And, you know, hopefully this situation, the reunion, was able to chip her off or get her situated and financially on that situation. I don't know what's going on. But she said she really enjoyed being Aunt Viv because it gave a black woman, like, characteristics, strong characteristics, like, powerful, like, educated, a mother, could dance, like, had so much freedom in that character. And I'm sure that birthed a lot of our, you know, the women that we have now in this generation, seeing Aunt Viv do it, especially a dark-skinned woman, you know, because that's the thing that she mentioned. Like, normally those roles were casted to fair-skinned women, you know. So, shouts to the first Aunt Viv, shouts to the second Aunt Viv, because she, you know, she did her part, too. She did her thing. And I like that she also was able to share the stage with her, you know, when they actually met for the first time. That was even wild, too. They had never met.
Yeah, I thought I definitely was like, oh, damn, she's never met her before. Like, not even in passing have they ever met. I did think it was dope when OG and Viv broke down, like, how powerful it was for her to be in a, I think she said, like, a $5,000 sweater. But she still has that in her to snatch off her earrings real quick and be like, oh, no, it's about to go down.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know why that was so dope to me, but it was, like, you know what I mean? And again, as a kid, I didn't realize that she had a $5,000 sweater on. In fact, to be 100% honest with you, the only person I really thought that could dress on that show was Carlton.
Really? Like, so you were pro fashion Carlton on that?
To a degree, because I mean, I grew up I wore polos like every day of my life. I just kind of got out of that room where I just, like, yo, it's just, I'm just hoodies, t-shirts, and I'm not really throwing a collar unless I got to throw a collar.
That's an interesting take, man, because, you know, the only time I actually rocked with Carlton's outfit was when he was Ceno. And when he put the bandana on his head.
Yeah,
and he went to that. But I also, you know, me growing up in the hood, I was looking at it in a situation, not saying that you can grow up in the hood, but, like, ideally, that's what I was seeing every day. So Will was more of an identity to me. And then also,
yeah,
I was too young to acknowledge the sneakers. You know, when you look at him wearing the Columbia 11s, the Penny 1s, you know.
He was getting them joints sent early, which I didn't comprehend that back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, and you only if you're a sneakerhead, you look at it now, you're gonna be like, damn, he was wearing some heat and not matching. Like, he made it okay to wear whatever you wanted. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he's definitely one of
Carl Kanai's on, and yeah.
Outside of Pharrell, Will Smith is one of my early fashion icons, man. Like, a lookbook virtually.
Oh wow, okay.
I mean, I try to aspire to that now to this day, to, like, never wear jeans ever again.
Hell yeah.
But it, you know, Cozy Boys forever. But you look in this situation, like, I thought it was really dope. One surprise, and I had been thinking about it the entire time I was watching it, was, where's little Nicky? And he shows up.
Yeah,
how cool was that?
I had like a I had like a 5 seconds where I was like, oh damn, they got everybody back but little Nicky. And I was like, all right. And shout out to whoever cut the tease on the thing, because the way that they had cut it when they showed Tatiana Ali just getting super duper emotional, like, oh my God, like, I thought that was for Aunt Viv.
Can you explain that for the people that don't know that world?
What you mean?
What you saying when they cut, like, when they were...
Oh, my bad. So yeah. So they cut the joint where it's like, they took the part where Tatiana Lee is getting super emotional, excited, and then they basically cut it to another time in the entire show where, you know, they made it seem like that was the reaction she was having for Aunt Viv coming in, who, by the way, came in on the complete opposite side of the damn stage where Tatiana Ali even turned to. And I'm even mad at myself for not realizing that in the edit. They're like, damn, they got me. Nikki. That's his name?
Yeah, it was Lil Nikki. Yeah.
Like, yo, he did not even cross my mind. And to keep it honest, no disrespect, shout out to homie. You did your thing, bro. I hope that you excelling in life or whatever it is you're doing. But like, yo, they wouldn't have had him on. Like, I wouldn't have missed. I would not have done anything other than probably right now. I'm like, oh, damn, they didn't have Nikki on the show.
When did you tap out of the show? When it was like,
I did all 6 years, dude. I did 6 years with him.
So you weren't rolling with Nikki. You gotta kind of acknowledge him. He was a key person. I'm surprised Will's mom wasn't a part of it.
So here's the thing, I would have been hyper to see any one of his three aunts. Well, not anyone. The dark skinned one. She kind of was, the one that played, I think her name was Jan or something like that. Like, she didn't need to be there. But Will's mom and his oldest aunt, whatever her name was, the one that's on Blackish, I would have loved to have seen them. I would have rather have had one of his two uncles or whatever. Like, Nikki did not need to be on this show, bro. Like, he was on the show for, what, 2 years maybe? Tops?
You have to look at how many actors and actresses did Fresh Prince break, like give them their break or like their intro to the world, like the Nia Longs, the Tyra Banks, the Don Cheadles. You can go down the line. Every woman that he dated, like they end up going into something, you know what I mean? But they had a chance to be a part of that heavy, you know what I mean? Like, that was one of those. Lara
Voorhees, you know, she was already out, but Lara Voorhees was on it.
Yep. So when you really think about those cross-platform scenarios and you know, I think they mentioned Fresh Prince was totally Black excellence.
Oh, for sure.
And not because of the wealthy situation of them living in Beverly Hills, but more so in Bel Air, sorry, different city. them living in Bel Air, but just the unity, you know, the importance of family, the importance of college. Like, those were the things that our generation needed to see and to influence and to motivate. And shout out to Quincy Jones and the rest of the writers and whoever else worked on that for creating a beautiful masterpiece that's like going to be in our lives forever.
I think that show, I think when it's, it's crazy because we're bigging it up now, but when we talk about, when, you know, you're just spitting off the top of your head and you're just talking about like shows from that era that were dope, it doesn't get mentioned off top like it probably should. You know what I mean? We go to like the Martins, the Cosby Show, you know what I mean? Like those type shows. And I feel like we overlook Fresh Prince a lot of times. And shout out to them, man, for being able to get their flowers, you know, while majority of everyone is still here and able to smell them and appreciate them, man. And, you know, I appreciated the show. You know, I grew up with my mother and my father, but, you know, Uncle Phil, you know, is one of those dudes that, like, even though he wasn't my pop or he wasn't anything to my family, you know, like, I saw things on there and, like, you know, it would be inspiring to see those type things and to know that he was from the slums of Baltimore, you know what I mean, the case may be, but, you know, he made it to Beverly Hills, and Will's from West Philly made it to Beverly Hills, and Aunt Viv's from Philly made it, you know what I mean? It was just dope, man. It was a dope show. I think they did a hell of a job with the reunion episode. I tip my cap to him, man. Everyone involved in that deserves a pat on the back because they really did a nice job with that.
All right, we're getting to that part of the show where we're getting ready to close out. This week is Thanksgiving. What did you got planned, man? I know it's COVID. You know, are you playing it safe? Y'all going to do the Zoom thing? You going to do the small gathering in your crib? What you got going in the Gervais residence?
Man, it's just small. Ain't doing much. I wanted to pop over to a friend or two to get Haven to be around some kids, but the way this thing is just spiking right now, because it's about to be a whole bunch of crib, a lot of crib with a side of the back. With maybe some front grass going, but other than that, dude, if it ain't the crib, you're not gonna see me there. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, man. I know I got invited to my first Zoomsgiving.
Oh, nice.
So you know, I'm
zoomed out.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, dude. I mean, I might pop on there for about 5 minutes to holler at my folks. I'm in a distance. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see my grandma, but also,
oh, nice.
Crazy thing about here in Oregon is that. If you have more than 6 people, you will be fined $1,250.
Mm.
So I think that should be incorporated everywhere.
They got, I know in Philly they got some sort of, but you can see what type of time we on. I know they got some sort of limit of what you can have in the crib, but I wish they would find it. But they need to. They need to, bro. Take this shit seriously, man, because it's wild out here.
Absolutely. Please wear your mask, wash your hands, social distance. Jer, what is going to be a dish that you're looking forward to having?
Well, I don't fuck with dessert, so you can count all that stuff out.
How you don't fuck with dessert?
Nah, dude, I'm cool, man. I think that Thanksgiving, I think pie, cakes, all that shit is just super duper overrated, yo. Like nobody wakes up and says, yo, I can't wait to get a piece of sweet potato pie. Like, you may want to get that sweet potato pie, but you sat.
Listen, you don't,
bro,
know.
You don't want that mac and cheese?
Listen, sweet potato pie with some ice cream or peach cobbler.
You gotta add it.
No. Or peach cobbler.
With some ice
family.
Cream.
Some ice cream, obviously, but when you looking at it in this scenario, how you not hyped about the desserts? Your mom ain't never cooked nothing, no crazy desserts that you really was just like, yo, my mom make the best this.
Nah, but my mom make a fire mac and cheese that I'm excited to have.
Or what about, you know what I mean? or Mark Lamont Hill's mac and cheese? Or, dude, he said he was trash, right?
Nah, I ain't fucking with Bull. Bull probably got Kraft mac and cheese or something, dude. Like, I'm not fucking with Bull the mac and cheese. He don't even fool mac and cheese like that.
Hey.
Yo, if I come to your crib and your mac and cheese don't either have breadcrumbs on the top
Hold
or it
on.
Don't got that.
Why would you have
golden,
breadcrumbs on top of your mac and cheese?
Cause you gotta get that texture, bruh. You don't put the bread.
No,
you don't do the bread.
Don't put
crumbs?
No breadcrumbs on top of nothing.
Hold up. You don't do so. Look, my mom. Listen, shout out to her. She does the breadcrumbs and she puts peppers and onions in the mac and cheese.
Listen, no disrespect to Miss Gervais, but don't put that shit in my mac and cheese.
I'm bringing you a plate.
Listen, I want my mac and cheese with 4 cheeses. 4.
Oh, it's going to have
4
cheeses in it, bro.
But listen, all that other shit added to it, that's a casserole.
Nah, it's not casserole, bruh. It's not casserole, dude. It's not casserole. Yo, it's the bread. Yo, it's either got to have the breadcrumbs or it's got to have that. It's got to be baked just long enough that the top layer gets like a little bit of a coating on it. So it's kind of like firm at the top. I don't want to just stick, bruh. Like, I don't need my jaw sounding like, you know what I'm saying, when I stick the spoon in,
sound
dude.
Sound like that thing?
Like, yeah, bro. Like, how funny is that? Like that. Like, it's cool, but like, come on, dude. Like,
so that turns you off hearing that noise. The moistness, the moistness of the mac and cheese.
No, it's cool. I just prefer the coating, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, I like to get to that point. I don't need you to start off. I don't need to start it off like that.
Okay, so no desserts for Jerv. Mac and cheese. And if you have mac and cheese, you ain't touching it if it don't have the right stuff in it.
Yeah.
What type of noodle are you rolling with?
I'm an elbow noodle dude.
Okay,
bruh.
So elbow noodles. Y'all hear that in America? If you ever make
noodles,
mac and cheese post COVID, and you want to send John Gervais some mac and cheese, or you want him to try your mac and cheese and be a judge, don't come through without the elbow.
Oh yeah, bro. I'm not trying that shit because if you use anything other than the elbow, your mac and cheese is dry.
Listen, what your mom putting it again? Breadcrumbs.
I'm telling you, dog, the breadcrumbs with the peppers and yo, you're not living until you had the breadcrumbs with the peppers and onions.
Listen, but my mom don't make like, the best mac and cheese. That sound like a Philly cheesesteak. I'll do a hard pass. I'll personally say that Thanksgiving has not been the same in the past 5 years because I don't eat the same foods. So my excitement level isn't there. I feel like I've been robbed of that holiday because of my diet. But
so that's why you looking forward to the sweet potato pie, bro.
Here we go. Here we go. When I did get down, must things that had to be on my plate. Dressing.
I had to have you mean like gravy?
Like the dressing, like the stuffing.
Oh, stuffing.
I don't know what y'all call it, man. Stuffing, dressing. Okay, the dressing with a slice of cranberry on the top.
You like cranberry sauce?
I like cranberry sauce, bro.
Right? Oh, my God. You the second person I've ever met in my life to eat cranberry sauce. Yo, there's a whole aisle for like five people in this world to eat it twice a year. Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's it, bro.
All right. Yeah, that's facts. And then macaroni and cheese has to be on my plate. So then, depends where you at. Collard greens, for sure. Yeah, I had a collard greens. I'm not against black eyed peas, but they can make it on there too.
See, I'm Caribbean, so we do rice and peas with the pigeon peas.
I don't like peas though. I've always been anti peas, but I can do it now as an adult. But as kids, peas was
out. I got you.
Okay. And then I'm choosing ham over turkey every single time.
You got to.
Turkey is trash to me.
Turkey's played out, dog.
No, but turkey is trash. It's not. There's nothing you could tell me that I'm going to really be like, yo, turkey fire.
They like, oh, yo, you got to get the fried turkey. Yo, bro, I just want turkey. Like,
listen, fried turkey, honey turkey. I don't care what you put on that turkey. That turkey ain't for me, dog.
Ham, no. Woo! Okay. Ham with that little bro. Now you on my land. But do you eat ham? Will you eat ham for Thanksgiving?
Back in the day, I would have ate ham.
Oh yeah. So hold up, time out. What is your Thanksgiving now like? Yo, put me down. What is your Thanksgiving plate looking like now, yo?
So I always make like a joke because this is crazy, dog. So I'm vegetarian, man. So I can still eat cheese and the dairy products and whatnot. I try not to eat as much. But it's technically sidesgiving.
Okay.
So it's all sides. So candy yams.
That's not that bad of an idea, though.
So I'm saying candy yams and mac and cheese and still the greens. But the greens can't have, like, the meat in it. You know how people be putting a special sauce.
Not eating greens then, bro. They ain't got
so what
they got that pork in it.
What I've done has picked up from Whole Foods. They do a pre-order meal for two, and I just.
What kind of neighborhood is your Whole Foods in?
I mean, I'm in Portland now, so I would know. But I was in Tempe in Arizona back then. So like during those couple of times, it was good. It was actually good.
Was it
a
diverse neighborhood?
I mean, it's a college neighborhood. I mean, I don't think your Whole Foods is gonna get really jiggy.
Did you have to add seasoning to your Whole Foods?
Yes. I mean, okay. I add seasoning to anything, to be honest, though. You know, like that's just by nature. I ain't gonna never stop that. But we are living a little healthy. It looks like, man, we went over time. I mean, we could talk about Thanksgiving all day. But that has been our time, Jerv, man. To our listeners, man, thank you for tuning in with us always. You guys have a happy holiday. Be safe out here. Don't hit those crowds with Black Friday. Try to do some Cyber Monday stuff or something, man. Let's try to slow down this COVID scare and all this other stuff going on, man. And let's get healthy, man. For John Gervais, for Rob Lopez on the ones and twos, for Amin and Waz out this week. Much love from the Bomb and Count the Dings crew. This has been another episode of Black Opinions Matter.